morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland's primary election is 6.5 weeks away on June 24th. Next week, we'll be talking with the three Democratic candidates for attorney general. This week, we're hearing from the major Democratic candidates for governor. We've already spoken with Maryland Attorney General Doug Gansler and Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. And with me today is Delegate Heather Mazier. She lives in Montgomery County. She's here with me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
10 years ago, you were a member of the Tacoma Park City Council. You've been a state delegate for Montgomery County for 7 years. You've never held statewide office. Why are you running for governor?
I'm running for governor not because I just want the job. I'm running for governor because I want to do the job. I have, in the 8 years I've been in Annapolis, built a record of bringing people together to get big things done, from expanding health insurance for children, family planning services for low-income women, leading environmental protections in our state. But there's so much more we need to do to help Maryland deliver real results for every family. I want to tackle the income inequality gap in our state. I want to eliminate the achievement gap in our schools. I want to protect our environment for generations and help restore the bay to a healthier condition. There's a lot of work to be done, and I'm really excited to be the one to be able to do it.
And you have a lot of issues on your website. What is your top priority?
I think any governor has to make jobs and economic development a top priority. I'm a former small business owner. I know what it's like to create jobs and meet payroll and what the importance to our economy is of supporting our small businesses. But my vision for economic development in this state isn't one that pits workers against businesses. I have something for everyone. I want to make sure that we don't just raise the minimum wage. I want to get us to a living wage. I have things like paid family leave and paid sick leave that I want us to get done. But we can do more for workers when we're able to do more to help small businesses who are supporting them. If we closed one giant tax loophole in our state that allows a handful of companies that operate in other states who are hiding the money they make in Maryland so they don't pay taxes, if they just pay their fair share and make them do what every other company in Maryland is doing and pay their corporate rate, we could generate $200 million in new revenue that I would dedicate to small business tax relief. We can do more for our workers when we do more for our small businesses.
And what form would that small business tax relief take?
I'm open to how we would structure it, but what I've been proposing in the past is that we eliminate the burden of the personal property tax. So many small businesses are very frustrated about this tax. You pay a $400 filing fee every year with the state, and you have to pay a tax on the depreciated value of all the assets on your business. So you've already paid taxes on it once when you've purchased it and paid sales tax on it. But for the remaining life of your business, every single year, you're taxed on the value of that equipment over and over again. We could rebate the cost of that tax with the revenue that we would generate from closing this corporate loophole.
In the area of healthcare, you are interested in exploring a single-payer system in Maryland in which the government pays for all healthcare costs. Why?
Well, the Affordable Care Act is one step towards trying to give more people access to quality, affordable health care. And that's been a cause of a lifetime for me. I've always believed that health care is a right and not a privilege. And by 2017, the federal government gives states the right to seek federal waivers to come up with new initiatives. Vermont is ahead of Maryland in this regard. They've already said, we're going to try to do in Vermont a single-payer approach so that we cut out some of the middleman and be able to provide more people with access to quality health care. I think that it's an interesting model to review and one that I think that Maryland should look at doing by 2017 as well.
How would the state pay for a single-payer system?
Well, that's part of what needs to be explored. And actually, I haven't made an actual recommendation in the campaign related to this. It's just something that we've been doing our due diligence on and following closely what Vermont is discussing. But as a concept, I think it's one we should explore.
What qualities would you bring to the governor's office that the other two major candidates would not?
I'm very focused on what we can do together, that we shouldn't be focused on negative aspects of campaigning. And in office, I'm about making sure that middle-class families have an advocate. For too long in Annapolis, we have seen the well-connected and the special interest be the ones that have a bigger voice in Annapolis. Just this legislative session, we saw millionaires giveaway in the estate tax go through the legislative session. Over the first 4-5 years of this, it's going to be $432 million. And it's a election year giveaway to the heirs of millionaires. The top wealthiest 3% of the families in our state are going to benefit from this. And at what expense? What are we going to cut from our schools, from our roads, from our hospitals? We should instead be focusing on giving middle-class tax relief. In this last administration, the millionaire's tax was allowed to expire while we raised taxes on everyone else. If we bring back that millionaire's tax, we'd have enough revenue to give 90% of all Maryland families tax relief. I think that there are important decisions to make in whose side you're on, and my administration's always going to be on the side of middle-class families.
And that you see as a difference between you and Doug Gensler and Anthony Brown.
Absolutely.
On 88.1 WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Delegate Heather Mazier of Montgomery County. She's seeking the Democratic nomination for governor. You have never held statewide office. You don't have administrative experience. Why are you the right person to do this job?
I have the best record of accomplishments, the best experience, and the best vision for the future of this state. I worked on Capitol Hill. I've been in public office for 20 years now. I worked on Capitol Hill for over a decade. Was domestic policy director for United States Senator John Kerry before, during, and after his presidential run.
Public office, not elective office. Elective office for 11 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been a public servant, working in public office, public service, for 20 years now. Starting on Capitol Hill for a decade as John Kerry's domestic policy advisor for his U.S. Senate office before, during, and after his presidential run. I spent time working with nonprofit Community Health Center Association, heading up their state affairs department, where I had a multi-million dollar budget that I managed and helped oversee offices in every state across the country. We were very involved in implementing child health insurance programs all across the country. And for the 8 years that I've been in Annapolis, have built a record of really putting my skills and talents to use to help Maryland live up to its full potential, pushing through legislation that allows young adults to stay on their family health plans until they're 25, coming up with a unique way to find and enroll 50,000 more children in health care, working across the aisle to expand family planning services to low-income women. On multiple issues, when I see a problem and come up with an idea on how to fix it, we know how to go in there and get it done. And I'm excited to bring that kind of tenacity to the governor's office.
Well, let me follow up, because I was struck when I read in the Washington Post a profile of you last August that in which you said if you're not elected governor, you will not run for elective office again. I mean, if you believe so strongly in the value of public service, how would you turn your back on it if you were to lose your first attempt to run statewide?
I'm not turning my back at all, Sheila. The conversation was a little more nuanced than what got reported in the story. The reporter came with an agenda to try to figure out, okay, well, you're not a legitimate candidate for governor. This was back in June when everyone was still saying that I couldn't do this, that, hey, you're not next in line. It's not your turn. Get out of the way. And he wanted to know why I was really doing this. If I didn't have a shot at winning, was I setting myself up to run for Congress? Did I want to run for Senate someday? Was I trying to be an attractive running mate to one of the other major contenders? Did I want to serve in someone's cabinet? Question after question after question kept coming from the place of, you're not a legitimate candidate for governor. Every time I tried to re-steer it to, no, I'm not doing this to set myself up for something else. I'm doing this because I am a legitimate candidate for governor, because I'm excited to serve this state, and because I know I'm a better candidate than anyone else in the race. The question just kept coming, and what I was
I'll be done with politics. I won't run for elected office again, close quote. Is that a misquote?
I was having a conversation with a reporter about the fact that if I didn't win, I was not going to be in office for at least another 4 years. And I'm not a plan B person, Sheila. I wasn't sitting there thinking about what I'm doing next. It's hard for me to imagine putting this much effort into this kind of a task again, but who knows what's going to happen 4 years from now. But I made it very clear that my engagement in public office and public life would never end, whether I would work in nonprofits or stay engaged with other people's political careers, maybe go into journalism. Who knows? My voice in the public sphere is not something that I said would go away. I just was trying to help the reporter understand that this wasn't a stepping stone to something else.
Let me squeeze another issue in before we're out of time. An issue that you speak about frequently is legalizing marijuana, going beyond the decriminalization of possession of small amounts of marijuana that the legislature voted for this year. You would make marijuana completely legal and you would tax it. Why do you consider that important?
I think our war on drugs has been a failure. Our marijuana prohibition laws have been enforced with racial bias. We know that African Americans and whites use marijuana with the exact same frequency, but African Americans go to jail 3 times more often. It detracts our law enforcement from focusing on more violent and serious crimes. And when we take an underground economy and bring it to the light of day by legalizing, taxing, and regulating marijuana, we generate enough revenue to pay for other critical priorities in our state, like eliminating our achievement gap. It still matters in Maryland what your socioeconomic status is and what your race is to determine whether or not you're going to be successful in school. And we know it doesn't have to be that way. When we invest in early childhood education from birth to age 5, we can give every child a chance to enter school ready to learn at the exact same pace. I have a truly universal pre-K plan to do that, and the revenue that we would generate from marijuana legalization would be put to paying for that program.
We're out of time. We have to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheila.
State Delegate Heather Mazier of Montgomery County. She's a Democratic candidate for governor. This wraps up our interviews with the Democratic candidates for governor. We spoke with the Republican candidates last week. The Republicans will debate tonight, 7 p.m., St. Mary's College. We have a link to more information about that at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. We continue our 2014 primary election coverage next week. We'll speak with the 3 Democratic candidates for attorney general. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on 88.1.